Greetings and welcome to Catholic Cardinal Reflections, the regular podcast of the Catholic community at Stanford University. This is a weekly podcast of Sunday homilies and theological reflections given by the staff of the Catholic community and their guests. Today's speaker is Father Xavier Lavaghetto, OP, parochial vicar and associate director. It is the 24th Sunday in Ordinary Time, and the readings are from Cycle C.
Two readings seeming to go in opposite directions. Consider that first angry God. Can't you sympathize with him in Exodus? Do you understand his anger? No, he saves the Israelites from slavery. Backed up against the wall of the Red Sea, God made a way for them through the waters. When they complained about the billow fare, God gave them manna, quail, and ready water. And how do they repay God? In Moses' absence, feeling abandoned, they make a God they can see, a golden calf. Isn't that us always? We often feel a spiritual void deep down within us, and then we make our own creations to worship. No wonder God is hopping mad. I see how stiff-necked this people is. Let me alone. Sounds like a parent, right? Let me alone, that my wrath may blaze up against them to consume them. Then I will make you, Moses, a great nation. Well, even the nicest person has bad days, right? In that moment, you need someone to remind you of the larger picture. For anger and hurt makes us myopic. In our anger, we forget the larger picture. We need someone to remind us, and it seems that God needs Moses to do it. Why, O Lord, should your wrath blaze up against your own people? Remember your servants Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, how you swore to them by your own self, saying, I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars. From that time on, every time the Israelites got into trouble, even today, when Jews pray in time of need, they ask God to remember, to remember. It's a very reverent way, a reverential passive, asking God to pardon and save. And so Torah taught us how to deal with anger. We should pray, and we should remember the larger picture. This is the wonder. God was teaching Moses by anger what to do with anger. Thus God taught Moses how to be a true prophet, not merely to deliver his word to people, but to plead and take the people's cry back to God. But the scribes and the Pharisees didn't get the message. They wanted to deliver only a message of judgment. The Pharisees and scribes began to complain, saying, this man welcomes sinners and eats with them. And so, to them, Jesus addressed this parable. That's curious. How many parables did we get? Three. It's actually one long parable and three stories. The scribes and the Pharisees didn't understand God, so how could they understand Jesus? And so Jesus tells them stories. You and I know that arguments hardly ever convince anyone. Insistence on winning the argument sometimes says we love our arguments more than the person we're talking to. But stories open us up. They give us a new perspective, a new place to stand inside another person's heart. And Jesus asked the Pharisees to remember experiences of finding something lost, something valuable. Rejoice with me because I have found my lost sheep. Rejoice with me because I found the coin that I lost. Now, that's strange too. No one leaves 99 sheep for the sake of one. That's just plain crazy. No one calls to a neighbor to rejoice over finding a lost dime. Now, we all know the relief of finding our lost keys or our wallet. But that's only relief. But there is real positive joy in finding what was loved and what was lost. Now there's real joy because something that you really treasured. The Pharisees and the scribes did not treasure tax collectors and sinners. But God does. God calls them by name. And so when the shepherds of Israel did not care for their own people, God said to the prophet Ezekiel, I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep. I will seek the lost. I will bring back the stray. I will bind up the broken. When Israel couldn't do its mission, God comes and does it himself. What we fail to do, Jesus will do. Jesus was challenging the Pharisees. He challenges you and I to really be good shepherds. Jesus finishes parable by an unfinished story. He leaves the scribes and the Pharisees with a question. Will the elder son welcome back his brother? Will they? He asks you, will you and I welcome the ones we are tempted to disrespect and disdain? Two sons broke their father's heart. The younger treated his father with utter rejection. He treated his father as if he were dead by asking for his inheritance. No matter that he had the duty to care for his father in his old age, honor thy father and mother. In the ancient world, the only thing more scandalous than this son's callousness was the father. Was the father giving the money and not the boot? The father would have been publicly ridiculed and mocked for giving that inheritance. I'll leave it to you to ask, why did he do it? The elder son, another piece of work, was no better. He too was a scandal. He publicly dishonors his father, making his father come out to him. Instead of the respect that was demanded in the ancient world, he screams at his father, you. No longer is the younger son his brother, he is your son. And he exaggerates his crime. Nothing in the story said the younger son did anything with prostitutes. We demonize those we're angry with at times. And he complains. Look, all these years I've served you, and not once did I disobey your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat to feast with on my friends. But when your son returns, who swallowed up your property with prostitutes, for him you slaughter the fattened calf, the greatest honor. The tender love that the father had for the younger son, he now shows to the elder. My son, you are here with me always. Everything I have is yours. But we must celebrate and rejoice because your brother was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found. The parable ends without an ending. It leaves a question waiting a response. How will the Pharisees treat sinners and tax collectors? It awaits your response. How will you treat the sinner and the enemy or the one you don't like? Two sons, they both broke their father's heart. The one broke his father's heart by breaking the law. The other son broke his father's heart by keeping only the law. The scribes and the Pharisee broke God's heart. The overly righteous break God's heart because they love only those like themselves. That's the temptation. Three parables. The shepherd foolishly seeks the one lost sheep. The woman foolishly rejoices over one small coin. Two seekers. But who is a seeker in the third parable? Certainly the father waits with prodigal love. But this parable was told because the Pharisees and scribes had said, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." The older brother should have looked for his younger brother if he loved him. The Pharisees and the scribes should have sought and eaten with tax collectors and sinners if they wanted to be like God, seeking the lost. You know, too often we condition our love on people's repentance. We demand their conversion before we love them. Get your act together. Jesus did it differently. God does it differently. He loved them first. A generic love is no love at all. So Jesus ate and laughed with sinners and tax collectors. He knew them by name. Perhaps you can see why Jesus so often told us not to judge. You love them first. You love them first. You love them by name. You love them at table. You can only love them into new life if you first love them and they feel your love. Won't you be like Jesus? Be a good shepherd. Love others first.
This has been a presentation of Catholic Cardinal Reflections, the regular podcast of the Catholic community at Stanford University. Director, Gary Glover. With music by Albert Tommaso and Shane Clarkson. For more information, please visit our website at catholic.stanford.edu or visit our offices on the third floor of Old Union. Till next time, God bless you.